name may never be in lights on a marquee. The world may not applaud when I sing. I can be a light to a friend in the night. Then that's all that I desire to be.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call.
Count the miles. Sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind and may I never.
I like those words.
From the cold.
Never run from the cold. No, sir.
For the world out there is dying.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll hear the rest of that a little later, but that's a beautiful song. You know, when you think about your calling, what did God call you to do? What did God call you to be? Are you fulfilling your calling? Are you fulfilling your calling? I pray that you are. I really do. Now, I listened today. This is served before Mother's Day. And oh, do I love my sweetheart wife, a wonderful mother to my children, a just outstanding grandmother, just really the best. I really do love her. I do love her. Make sure you look at your Facebook after a while. I'm going to have a picture up in front of her rose garden with her sweetheart standing beside her. I'm sorry for me being there, but she's mine. That's all I can say. She's mine. Well, today, saddling legged Christianity. Saddling or saddle legged Christianity. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. Is that not the picture of our present day church world? One foot in the world and one foot in the church. It is a sad picture. It is a church-wide picture. It is a worldwide picture. I get amazed at what preachers are saying today. I get amazed at, yes, their very words and their arguments. It seems like they have forgot who they are. It really does. I do not understand. It really seems like they have forgot who they are. I am amazed at it. I'm overwhelmed with it. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to stay with the book. Now, I'm going to give you today 9 things that are wrong in the church world and what we have got to do something about. Are you willing? We talk about the political people. We talk about what they are and what they are not. And it's sad what they are not. But the problem is not the White House. The problem is God's house. The problem is not even those who are running for the White House. It's those in God's house. And if we don't do something about it, just this week, I heard about First Methodist uptown. Two of their staff ministers just married each other right there in the church. 2 men married each other in a same-sex marriage. Well, you know what's happened down in Alabama, how the Supreme Court and the administration is doing their best to hush that Supreme Court judge there. Standing the ground of what Alabama wants to stand for. And you know what's happened here in North Carolina. It's all amazing. It's a world going crazy. It's a world going to, it's no longer are we living by the Bible. It's now are we living by common sense. Did you hear what I said? It's no longer are we living by the Bible. It's are we living by common sense. It don't even seem like we got any common sense anymore. When preachers in a church that belongs to Jesus Christ and this Holy Bible will be involved in same-sex marriages, then it's pitiful. It's sick. It's sick. There's no other word for it. You say, Reverend Chambers, they're going to stop you. Well, they'll have to try, but they won't stop me. I can say it behind prison bars, just like I say it here on the radio. And I'll probably have an audience because, you know, God really is going to take care of that. He really is. Now, I want to get to it in just a moment, but first, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, and let me give you a picture of what is going to happen. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. This is Isaiah talking to God. And I'm repeating what Isaiah was saying to God. And I'm saying it with you, in front of you, on this international telecast, on this radio broadcast. I'm saying it in front of you, with you, hopefully with many of you, even thousands and thousands. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Talking to God now, Isaiah was praying, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. That thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. To make thy name known to thine adversaries, the adversaries of the church, the adversaries of the Bible, the adversaries of Jesus Christ, the adversary of every saint of God in this nation, that thou would makest thyself known to thine adversaries, that the nations, not just America, but that the nations may tremble at thy presence. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. My friends, it is really going to happen. It is really going to happen. Everything I'm hearing, the big fire in Canada, what they're saying about the Yellowstone National Park, there was just a report given out that when that thing explodes, when the Yellowstone National Park explodes, they say there's so much molten rock, there's so much lava, there's so much things under, it's rising so much every year, and they said when that thing explodes, it will send 10 feet of dust to New York City. Now, that sounds like destroying half of this nation, and I think that's possible, because I'm telling you what Obama has done and what other politicians are willing to do, what judges are doing, they will answer to God. They will answer to God. Every preacher that is willing to stand with the moral decay, the bankruptcy of moral values, the destruction of what this Bible says, every preacher that's willing to stand with it is going to pay with his soul. And if he doesn't repent, eternity in hell. Can you imagine the multitude of preachers that are going to spend eternity in hell? Never has there been a day when the church world was so full of them. Now remember, you know what a saddle is? Saddle-legged Christianity. That's what we've got today. We got a world full of people who are religious, and they got one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and they think God's going to accept their new interpretation of the Bible. Well, God does not accept anything contrary to this blessed old book. Do you hear me? God doesn't accept anything contrary to this blessed old book. It is still the word of the living God. Now, let's go from Isaiah. And I love that. Remember that passage, Isaiah 64, 1, 2, and 3. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And he talks about the fire burning up his adversaries. I'm telling you, it's coming. Look at what's happened in Canada. Look at the homes, thousands. And they say the fire is like hell. I don't know whether they got it under control this morning or not, but I can tell you one thing. We are in a situation that you've never heard so much as you go. Just keep your ears tuned a little bit to the media. Oh, you say, I don't listen to the media. I can't stand it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you don't know what's going on, if you're a preacher and you don't have courage to listen to the media and keep up with where our world is going, you're not worth your salt, sir. I'm sorry to say that. You're not worth your salt. You need to know what's happening. I don't mean spend a lot of time, just a little time, but know what this world is coming to and be willing to speak up and stand up and take a stand. I saw a picture this week of a minister in a Muslim city, and he was being killed, and right in front of the camera, the Muslims killed him because he was trying to show them something in the Holy Bible. Oh, friend, if you don't understand this Muslim situation, it's a war from hell, and it's only going to get worse. And if somebody don't have enough sense to know what's going on, our president sure doesn't. It's amazing to me. Well, let's go to the book of Acts. I want to read this to you. This is what's going to happen. Are you hearing me? This is going to happen. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Did you hear me? God. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above. Watch for it. Already happening. And signs in the earth beneath, taking place all over the world. Blood and fire. And vapor of smoke. You've never seen so much blood in your lifetime as you've seen, if you watch any news at all, as you've seen the last few months, maybe a year, two, 3 years. Blood everywhere. People spilling their blood. Blood being poured out. I saw a picture this week of a bunch of children who had just been killed by ISIS. A bunch of little children slain, their heads cut off. What, I mean, these people are dogs. These people are vicious. They're full of the devil. Don't you misunderstand me. They are full of the devil. It's not a religion. It's nothing but a political system of evil and wickedness that would set up a one world Muslim empire. I mean, that's what they're after. That's what they're after. And if we're not willing to stop them, God will. Believe me, God will. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, when is this going to happen, Brother Chambers? Let me tell you. Now, listen to me carefully. I don't want to be misunderstood. I want it to happen before the rapture. I want it to happen before the rapture. I've got loved ones. I got grandbabies that they are so caught up in the world. They don't have one foot in the world. They got both feet in the world. You know, and that's even worse. Well, I don't know what is worse than one in the church and one in the world. It would at least give us granddaddies and fathers a little consolation if they'd come around the church once in a while. But they don't even do that anymore. They are just going to hell like it's the last thing they want to do. And they don't realize what they are doing. Do you hear me? My heart's crying out. Really. But when is this revival going to take place? Well, it will take place either before the rapture or after the rapture. There's no other answer. I mean, there's no way it can be otherwise, either before the rapture or after the rapture. I want it to happen before the rapture. But more and more, I'm getting the gut feeling that it's going to happen after the rapture, that there's such a belligerence and a disregard for God. It's going to take the judgments of God in the earth. And Isaiah said that, by the way. And then people will learn righteousness. I'm telling you, when God really begins to judge this thing, people will learn righteousness. And it will be amazing, and it's coming soon, and it's coming like a storm. Now, you understand, you hear these Bible verses, you know what I'm saying is right. There's no ifs, there's no ands. It absolutely is right, and we've got to understand that. Now, I'm going to give you today a booklet that is really an overwhelming one. It's kind of large, and the name of it is Straddle-Legged Christianity. Saddle-legged Christianity. Saddle-legged, that means scattered-legged. That means two legs, one in the world, one in the church. Scattered-legged, saddle-legged Christianity. Now listen to me, friends. You need this, and I'm going to give you nine things, and it's in this article. is in this article, and you'll have it to teach. Maybe you'll preach it if you're a man of God preacher. I know many of you preachers don't want nothing like this. You got to say pretty and smooth things. Your church wants to hear smooth things. And you can't have 1,000 or 2,000 or 7,000 on Sunday morning if you don't tell them smooth things. If you would preach to them what I'm preaching to you, I'm afraid some of them wouldn't be back. And your church would probably begin to go down overwhelmingly fast. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how close it is. I don't know when the tide's going to turn. I'm looking for the tide to turn. I'm looking for God to come down that the mountains might flow down in His presence. And I pray He will at least give us a few months of Holy Ghost revival before the rapture. A few months, if it can please Him, if He's willing. Because He has such a love for the sinner. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you do know that that revival doesn't take place before the rapture. It will begin immediately after that rapture. Because you look at the Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 6 and again chapter 7, you see a multitude. I'm talking about innumerable multitude. I'm talking about millions on top of millions. I'm talking about people from every nation on the face of this earth. I'm talking about people from the Muslim world, from the Hindu world, from any world of any religion, including Christianity. I'm telling you, when that rapture is over, people all over this earth will begin to repent. Many of them won't know what's happened, and maybe they'll never learn, some of them. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen totally after that rapture, except hell on earth. I can tell you that, and I can tell you anybody that has any common sense at all and knows anything about what has happened will want to get right with God, but they will pay the price that it will cost people to get right with God after that rapture is almost indescribable. We're talking about being raped. We're talking about being mutilated. We're talking about your children being raped in front of you. We're talking about you being treated like a dog. We're talking about something that is beyond description, and it's going to happen on a worldwide basis after that rapture, friend. It's going to be hell on earth. And I pray that you won't be here. My burden is that you won't be here. But I can't stop you, and I can't make you get right with God. I can't seem to turn a few around, but I'm not turning many around. And I'm begging, I'm crying out to God for a Holy Ghost revival. Now, I want to give you these things that are missing from the church that have to be replaced before there can be revival. One absolute truth. Absolute truth. This Bible is the absolute authority of God. And until the church goes back to this absolute authority and accepts it as the absolute authority and treats it like the absolute authority, nothing good can happen in any church that doesn't see the absoluteness of that Bible. It is the authority of God. See, nobody wants authority today. Do my own thing. Be my own boss. Live like I please. Do like I please. Well, you can do that. I can't stop you. God's not going to stop you until the moment of judgment, and then you will be stopped. Absolute authority. Got to have it. And we've got to learn that God is a masculine God. He's not some feminine, how do you say it? He's not some feminine Jezebel. He's not some feminine God. He's an absolute God. He's a God of absolute authority. And He is a masculine God. And if you don't see Him like that, then you're looking at a God of the New Age and a God of the compromises and a God of a Jezebel church. I promise you. So we got to get back to God being a masculine God. We got to get back to the cross is the center of our message. If you're not preaching the cross centrality, the centrality of the cross, if that's not the center of your message, if that's not the center of your church, if there's not a cross, you can't see the cross from here, but there's a cross right behind me, back at that stained glass window. You see just a little of it. I have it open because I want you to see in there. I'll be in there preaching in the morning, and my message is going to be a good one. The Lord willing, I will be preaching tomorrow on looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to go read verses 1, 2, 3, they'll bless you. I'd love for you to hear it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. The Bible says the author and finisher of our faith. That's a beautiful statement. finisher. He started this with me 64 years ago, but I don't have to worry. He's going to finish it with me. He's going to keep me till the last moment. He's going to keep me till the end of the journey. Do you understand? And I'm looking forward to that. So that's number three, the centrality of the cross. Number four, no confidence in the flesh. This flesh, including Joseph Chambers, must not have any confidence in the flesh. It must all be in God. I must not trust in what's up here. I must not trust in what comes out of here. I can't even trust everything I hear with my ears. I've got to depend wholly on God. Wholly on God. And no confidence in the flesh. And then there's got to be complete dependency on the Holy Ghost. Complete dependency on that great person of the Holy Spirit, which God sent on the day of Pentecost to guide and lead and go with his church right down to the end. And then there's got to become again a strong prayer life. A Holy Ghost anointed prayer life. Men and women getting alone with God and praying until the Spirit prays, until they're lost in that holy place called the inner chamber of prayer. Hallelujah. There's the door opens right in, and it's called his flesh. And his blood has opened the way for you to enter into the sanctuary, to the Holy of Holies, in the Spirit, that is, and have prayer and communion with God, the greatest need of this hour. And then there's got to be a dependency on the supernatural of God. You say, I don't believe in God doing miracles today. Then you don't believe the Bible. And so I feel sorry for you, because God is doing miracles right now. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here if God didn't do miracles. 80 years old, and I'm healthy, and God has healed me and kept me healthy. And I hope to preach until the land is wasted. No. I hope to preach till the rapture. I'm about to say that wrong. I hope to preach until the rapture. And then there's got to be a Bible-saturated music. We got to get back to music at the cross where I first saw the light. The great songs of Calvary, the power of the blood. Oh, any song that's full of the Bible. You know, I don't mind modern songs if they're full of the Bible. If they're sung with the kind of music that is worshipful instead of to activate the flesh. I want songs that activate the spirit. You have a spirit inside of you. You also have a flesh on the outside of you. If your religion only moves the flesh, you're in false religion. If your religion moves you in here, in your heart, and there's a new and fresh surrender and worship and love before the Father, then that's beautiful. And I love that. It may be some new song. There are new songs that are beautiful. I'm not against new singing. Really not. I'm just for Bible-centered music and Bible-centered singing that feeds the spirit and not the flesh. I mean, that's easy to understand, I think. Well, there's one more, and that is praise and worship that raises the roof. Nine things. They're in this article, by the way. And if you'll call right now, you'll get it free. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. That's 33 Truth, 33 Truth, 1-800-33 Truth, T-R-U-T-H. T-R-U-T-H, 33 T-R-U-T-H. I hope you'll call from anywhere in America or Canada. And then, of course, you can call on our regular number from anywhere in the world. You'll need the codes out of your country into America. And I can't tell you what all of them are, but you can find them with your operator. And call us at 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I get calls from Australia. I get calls from South America. I get calls from South Africa. And so I know anywhere in the world you can call 704-391-0588. And you can get this wonderful article, and the name of it is Straddle-Legged Christianity. I don't know which is right. Straddle, I guess. Straddle-legged Christianity. Would you call and get a copy of that booklet? It will help change your life and bring you back to the straight way. Really, I want you to have it. Call quickly. I've talked too long almost. It's becoming a monologue, me sitting here just telling it to you like I believe it is. And now I'm ready for you. I want your calls. I want your questions. I want you on the line. I want you to get this booklet. You can call, get the booklet, and then ask to speak to me, and I want to answer your question. I want to help you understand everything we're talking about, and I want to try to show you the pre-trib rapture is at the door and about to happen. It's about to occur, and I want you to get ready for it. It's any moment. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want one of you to miss it. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. Don't waste now. Don't waste any time. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Let me take a look at the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I don't know what that is. I didn't ask for that. Paulcreek.org. I want to hear from you. You are very, very important. And any question you ask, I will do my best to answer them. Here's a question. Dr. Chambers, or Brother Chambers, I'm sorry. I wanted to hear your list of 9 things wrong with the church. Wait a minute. Those acceptance of adulterous marriages is item number 1 on his list. Okay, well, I agree with that. But that has to do with this book, The Authority of the Bible. That describes the whole moral issue. That describes the whole moral issue. Do you understand? That's what I mean, Gary. When I say the authority, absolute authority of this Bible, adulterous marriages is abomination in the sight of God. Same-sex marriages is an abomination in the sight of God. I don't mind saying it at all. Not at all. But that comes under this Bible, the absolute authority of the Holy Bible. The absolute authority of the Holy Bible. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
I got a question for you. It pertains to something that will happen just before the Great Tribulation.
Okay.
Do you think Elijah will be back on the earth prior to the rapture, or maybe just after the rapture? Because the Bible says he will be here before the great, terrible day of the Lord.
Well, there will be 2 witnesses. You know the story of them in the book of Revelation. The Bible doesn't say who they are. There's always been an argument over whether John the Baptist was Elijah. In one place they said he was Elijah who was for to come. Another place seemed to indicate he was not Elijah. And so I've always left it alone and not tried to figure out what I can't figure out in my brain. But there will be 2 witnesses. And there's always a debate on who they will be. And one of them could be Elijah.
Turn to Malachi 4 and 5, and it says it pretty distinctly. Malachi 4 and 5.
So, Elijah 4 and 5. Behold, I will send my servant Elijah. Let me get to some. Yeah, Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, you do understand that was spoken before Jesus. So, again, if John the Baptist was that Elijah who came to prepare the way, that would fulfill it. If he wasn't, then he will have to be one of the 2 witnesses. That's my opinion. Now, you are you suggesting that maybe there'll be a prophet that will rise up that really becomes a mighty voice for God across the world? I would love that. I wish that God would raise up a prophet that would be such a voice.
Every year in Israel, they have a celebration or something of that type, and they have a meal, and they set a place for Elijah. They put his plate there, spoon, fork, knife, a cup. And they've been doing this for centuries, and he hasn't shown up yet. And every year they'll say, well, hopefully he will be here next.
But what if John the Baptist was that Elijah and they didn't pay him no attention?
Yeah.
I'm at that point in the book I'm writing on the novel on the life of the great apostle Paul. And I'm at the point right now that Jesus has already been introduced by John the Baptist. And they rejected John the Baptist. And one of the reasons I say they rejected John the Baptist is because he didn't go to Jerusalem and get permission from the high priest and the great authorities there before he started preaching what he preached. See, they wanted him to come there and get their authority. And if he wasn't under their authority, then he had to be wrong.
Right.
So, we know, and this is something that you have to leave now in the hands of the Lord, whether he was John the Baptist or whether there's yet one to come, and whether he's talking about the two witnesses, one of them being that. I just leave all that alone. I don't want to get people worried about that. I want to get them looking for Jesus to come.
Right. Well, putting that aside, you know, talking about the way the church is now, you know, what did the Apostle Peter say? That when a judgment comes, it's going to begin at the house of the Lord.
Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it begin at the house of God, where shall the ungodly appear? I mean, if we're going to be judged first, what's going to happen to that wicked crowd out there? It's going to be hell on earth.
That's exactly right. Well, that's what he said, I think, in the next verse or so. He says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, well, then where does the unsaved and unrighteous stand?
Exactly right. I mean, if people would just listen to that, if they would just hear that, my keeps on messing me up here. I don't know why. I'm sorry for that. But if we would just hear this and understand, man, it's almost over. It's almost over. And people just don't want to hear where we are. Thank you, my friend. God bless your heart. Call us quickly now. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Another question. How many have to die before God does something? How many have to die before God does something? Well, you know, I can't tell you how many gonna have to die before God does something, but I can tell you it's very near at hand. That's, we all think about that. How many have to die? But God's in charge of this, brother. God's in charge of this. How many have to die before God does something? How many is going to die when God does do something? That's my question. Look at the judgment, and it falls upon the wicked and the multiplied millions that's going to die at the hand of God's great judgment that's coming. I mean, we're at the door, my friends. We're at the door. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want you to ask any question on your mind, and I want you to understand that the church is desperate to get back to the Bible. Hey, let me tell you something. Listen to me, everybody out there. I mean, if I say all of this, and I can't convince you somehow by the grace of God to get your heart right with God and to turn from sin, get your foot out of the world, and get both feet in the middle of the kingdom of God. I got to thinking this week about the church and studying about the beauty of God's house and God's church and how wonderful it is. And people out, we live in a day when people want to be anything but in a good, solid place where they really hear the word of God. And we got people over the world, Texas and different places, that hear this church and they become part of this church because there's no literal church in their area that really stands on these great truths of God. And if you're a part of us in some place and you've dedicated yourself to be part of us, you're just as much in church as those people who were sitting yonder in the morning, okay? I want you to know that. But that's because you've committed yourself and you're faithful, you're a tither, you're dedicated, you're giving yourself to the things of God, and you're having church with us. And if you're doing that and sitting in front of your computer or whatever, however you're doing it, I'm here to tell you, you're in the house of God. You're in the house of God. But treat it that way, and don't take it lightly, and don't treat it cheaply. Make sure it is treated like the house of God anywhere you are, okay? Because I love the church. I love the church. Forgive me for getting up here in your face, but I want you to hear me today. I really do. Now, any more questions? Let me hear them. I want to hear anything you've got that is important to you, and I will do my best to answer it. I'm trying to check all of my emails here. I don't want to miss anybody, and I don't want to waste any time now. Don't want to waste any time. I want you to grab your phone and grab your mouse, one or the other, and let me hear from you. What do you see? What's happening in your mind? What about this horrible thing in Canada, this horrible wildfire? I mean, they say, what I read yesterday, the worst ever happened in history. Nobody has a record of such a wildfire. What if the Yellowstone National Park explodes today? I mean today. And covers the sun and the moon and everything for days here in America. Who knows how long it would be. Friends, these dark days are about to happen. They're going to happen. You say, Brother James, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you right with God. I'm trying to get you ready to go in the rapture so you won't be here. I want to be looking down from up yonder. I don't want to be down here looking up there wishing I was up there. And there'll be multitudes by the millions down here wishing they was up there because they were unfaithful. They didn't carry the load. They didn't carry the burden. They wouldn't give themselves to the things of God. They were just absolutely selfish. And we've got a church world that is just plain that way today. And it really breaks my heart. It does. Now, your calls, your questions, and your interest in this booklet, please do not put it off. Call quickly and get a copy of this. Let our ladies provide you a copy. And if you're not on our mailing list, tell us. We'll put you on our mailing list. If you're not one of our email people, you need to go in there and sign up to be one of our emails. Now, we're having a problem right now with email. We had to change companies because the prior company, they changed their situation. I don't know whether they went out of business or merged. I'm really not sure what they did. But they required us to move on to a different company. And we're having trouble now getting it all squared away. The email last week, some of them went, some of them didn't. So if you didn't get yours, you understand. You may get one today or you may not. But you can do this. You can go on the internet. And you can read every bit of it. It will be there by the top of the hour after the program is over, usually 30 minutes after or 45 minutes after. It'll be up on your internet, paulcreek.org. paulcreek.org. You remember that. Go to paulcreek.org. You can have every bit of it. You can listen to the program. If you don't get a email today, I pray that you will. But if you don't, you know we're getting it solved. Just be patient with us. Just be patient with us. If you're on the email list and you don't want to be, you send me an email and I will paulcreek.org. I'm sorry, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. That's my email. That's how I can get your email right now to read on this program and answer for you. Okay? jrc@paulcreek, paulcreek.org. Now the phone numbers, and I want you to grab your phone, jrc@paulcreek.org. How many of you actually agree that the church is in a state in which the majority, almost, 95% or better, have one foot in the church and one foot in the world? They are just plain saddle-legged Christians. Saddle-legged Christianity. It has come to pass in our day. When I used that term, the Lord poured it in my heart at 3 o'clock of the morning, and I got up and sent a Facebook a statement about it. Oh, there's been tremendous response on the Facebook. That, by the way, is Joseph Chambers on the Facebook. There's several of them on the Facebook, but you'll know the one in Charlotte, and you'll know my picture when you see it, okay? So hope we can have you as a friend on Facebook. We on Twitter. You can see all things there. We have our email list. We have some 40,000 on that list, and I pray we get it all straight without losing anybody. I've got friends in Pakistan, 100 or two in Pakistan on the email list. I got an email the other day from a minister there. I'm preaching your material all over the country of Pakistan. I said, do it. I want you to use every bit of it. It's God's material. It's not mine. I just want the gospel out there. Now, I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. I'll grab your mouse, okay? Right now, 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. Do you see the church as I am pointing it out to you today? Do you understand that no longer is the Bible the absolute authority in the church? Absolute authority from Genesis to Revelation. Absolute authority. If you can prove one bit of it, then you have disproved all of it. If you can doubt one part of it, then you have no reason not to doubt every part of it. The Bible is the absolute authority of Almighty God. The absolute authority of Almighty God. That's why same-sex marriage is an abomination. That's why this whole idea of transgender people, there is no such thing. God don't make those kind of mistakes. God don't create these monsters. God don't make you something you're not. Your problem is sin. Your problem is demons. Your problem is you haven't been trained right or raised right, possibly. Maybe you were raised right, but you turned from it. I mean, there's many reasons that people get all confused and think some crazy thing about themselves. And all I can tell you is, if it's not in the Bible, it is not believable. And God made you in His image, and you belong to Him. Okay? Now grab your phone, or grab your mouse. Okay, here's a question. Dear Mr. Chambers, can you please explain 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. That is a big question that people love to ask. People have taken it out of context in all kinds of ways. And of course, because of that, many people have wrong opinions of it. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm delighted. I really am. 2 Thessalonians and two and three, 2 Thessalonians, 2 and 3. Let me read 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Listen to that. Pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Unreasonable. You know, I'm reading from chapter 3 instead of chapter 2, but it's good, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I'm sorry, but that's okay. We'll go to chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, notice that, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Now, you got to keep that in context. By our gathering together unto Him. That has to be the rapture, because if He comes down here, then we're not gathered together unto Him. But we are gathered together unto Him by the rapture. And then He said that you may not soon shaken or in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, He is saying, before the rapture can occur, there's got to be this great falling away. This great falling away. And the evidence of the Antichrist has got to just become so big. And people have got to realize that the Antichrist is working and doing his sharp work. Well, that's happening right now. Everything that scripture talks about is occurring. We're getting ready for the catching away, as He called it. Gathering together unto Him. Those are the words Paul used. Beautiful words. And before that, and before we're gathered, He said there'd be this great falling away. Friend, if we're not in the falling away, it will never occur. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the Bible said He's already working. So He's already being noticed. There's already the sense of Him, the sense of His evil power. Now, a lot of people try to use that to say the rapture doesn't take place until after the tribulation because the Antichrist has got to be doing his thing. Well, then you just go right on and read the other verses and let me take you to them, okay? Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God, so that he is worshipped even as God. And sitteth even in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then he goes, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now you know what withholdeth or restraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. And then he goes on to say, get the right word here. I'll just read, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's working. Everybody can sense that if you got a good eye and a good spiritual understanding, if you got any discernment, and he will continue to work, but he can't be revealed until a restrainer is taken out of the way. Now that's where we come in and see the rapture, the removal of the Holy Spirit as that one who reigns over the earth now. He'll still be doing his work, but from a different centrality. And all of that's right at the door, friend. Do you understand? I hope you can see that clearly, because it's very clear. And some people take that one little passage that seems a little troubling to them, and they reinterpret Revelation, and they reinterpret all the Bible, and they reinterpret Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and they reinterpret all the Bible because they can't figure that little part out. Well, I just explained it to you, and it's very simple. It really is. Friend, the coming of the Lord is at the door. Are you ready? How many of you out there ready? All right, now grab your phones. I know it's Mother's Day, and many of you are buying flowers and doing all kinds of things, and you'll listen later, and I pray that you will. But I want you to know we are at the door. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, let's spend these last 18 minutes, and I want your calls, one after the other. 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want your calls. I want your questions. I'll be glad to answer anything that you send over the email to the best of my ability. I'm here to be a blessing to you. I'm here for the kingdom and for the glory of the Lord God. And so I want to answer your questions, and I want to help you. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. And I'm telling you, we are at the door. Now, while you're calling, I plan to preach something in the morning that I want to tell you something about. I want you to hear me. Really hear me. Very important. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, this text is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And verse 1, 2, and 3, it kind of covers this. And I'm telling you, if ever there's been a day that we got our eyes on the Christ and on the Lord, and if ever we've lived with our hearts set on Him with utter devotion and utter surrender, this hour demands that, my friend. It really demands it. The coming of the Lord is at the door. And don't stay in a dead church. I had a man yesterday was talking on the phone, and he told about a friend of his who used to go to Wedgwood, which is a Baptist church that has really opened the door to the same-sex marriage, and they're just big time in the agenda of the sodomy world. And many churches are going that route. I mean, they just think that's the grandest thing, that we can be real liberal, you know, and we can welcome anything coming in. Well, I want to tell you, I'll preach the gospel to anybody. It doesn't matter where in sin you're living, Jesus will save you, and Jesus will change your life. And in this congregation, anybody that wants to hear that old-time message is worthy to come and welcome to come. Now, we have a line at the altar. Out in front of the altar, we want anybody that will come to come and hear the gospel and be gloriously saved. But that line behind the altar is where the saints of God minister and sing and preach and play music and declare the truth of God. And the sinner doesn't go up past that line until they're converted to Christ. They stay behind that line. It's not their second rate. It's that we're here to minister to them. And when they walk in that church, we want them to see saints, godly people, leading the way and ministering and being an example, that they can see us as an example. That's the church. That's God's house. That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Every church ought to be open to any sinner that wants to hear the gospel. Oh, it doesn't matter who you are. If you want to hear the gospel and you want somebody to preach the truth to you, I'll do it, friend. I'll tell you the story of the crucified Lamb. And I'll lead you to the cross if you'll let me, because the Savior is wonderful to save. So remember those words, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm here to tell you, he didn't just start this wonderful salvation plan. He's going to finish this wonderful salvation plan. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let me tell you about school. We've got a great Christian school, and our students all committed to me Friday that they're going to be ambassadors for their school, and that we got good scholarship programs. You say, I don't have the money. If your kids are in a public school, then here in North Carolina, we have a new scholarship program, and much of it is our Christian kids of Christian families, and you, all you got to do is call our office and ask for Wendy, and she'll help you go on your computer and make application to the scholarship program. And who knows, you may get a scholarship. Now, if you make good salaries beyond a certain level, then you're not eligible. And there's a lot of good people out there. If you'd spend your money on your children now, you wouldn't have to spend it on them later. Okay, spend it on them now. now instead of later. Very important. All right, grab your phone. I'm sitting here waiting on you. I want to answer your questions. You are important to me. I promise you. You're important to this preacher. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Bobby Chambers. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderful.
I always enjoy listening to you on Saturday. I look forward to it.
And I am delighted, sir. Delighted.
I am telling you that people just don't fear the Lord anymore. They don't reverence God. And if people are so blinded, if people will start fearing the Lord, they will and get a hunger for God, stuff can turn around. I'm telling you, this is a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess. I had a man call me yesterday from a city up in the mountains, and I said to him, he can't find a church. He can't find a church. He went to one, and he said you had to walk through a haze of smoke when you left the church because all the deacons was out smoking on the front steps. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I couldn't handle a church like that. I couldn't take that. I believe in old-time Bible living. And if you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, that's what I'm talking about today. That's what I'm trying to help people understand. And that's the picture of the church world. And I couldn't handle that. But you're right. But I told him, go in your room and find you a room to pray in and get on your face and stay there. And God will lead you somewhere to where there's a good church. There's got to be one in most places. And I don't know. I guess there's places there's not one. And then in that case, then have church with us. We'll send you our DVD. You can watch the service on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. We send them all three, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. Now, if you do that, we expect you to become part of us, pay your tithes, be a part of the great need. We are a ministry that operates on a very narrow budget. I've still got 18 more payments on this beautiful sanctuary you see behind me. Our campus is worth about $3.5 million. We've done this in about 20 years, which has been a miracle, and we only like 18 payments, and it's going to be paid. They're $3,800 a month. Can you imagine making a payment like that? Been doing it for about 15 years, and I'm tired of it. I really am. I've been praying, God, send me a miracle. Give me somebody out there that's got more money than they need. That'll help me. But God bless you, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and I just hope you will just stay encouraged by the Lord. And I just want to say one more thing. This bathroom situation.
Isn't that crazy?
I know, and I'm afraid that one of these days, it's just like if I'm at somewhere and I go, my wife has to go to the bathroom, and if I'm standing by the door and some man comes in there, I'm going to tell you what, he's going to have a problem.
Yeah, I've already said, if my wife's in a bathroom and there's one in there and she calls me and tells me, or he tries to get in there, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to throw him out of there so fast that he ain't going to know what hit him. You say, oh, you're not but a little bit of guy. I know, but I was raised on a farm and we had these Bantam roosters. You ever heard of them?
Yes, sir.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them Bantam roosters. And I'd go get him. I'm here to tell you. I'd go get him. I had a man in the parking lot some time ago, great big guy, there's two of them, and he was going to go through this place with all the kids everywhere. We have a school here. I said, no, you can't go through here. Well, who's going to stop me? I walked right up in his face, and I said, have you ever had a hold of a Holy Ghost-filled man? And he turned and left, you know? Because I just believe God takes care of his children, and I believe we've got angels, and if everybody out there would just trust God, it would change their life.
Amen. Brother Chambers, God bless you, and have a good day, and just keep doing what the Lord asks you to do, and I'm going to keep listening to you, and I love you, brother.
I love you, brother. If you got Facebook, I want you to listen, because I'm going to put Mama's picture up there in a little while for her Mother's Day love from me, because I care about that little lady. God bless you, friend. I love you. And somebody else, call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. Hey, happy Mother's Day to every mother out there. Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell you something, women folks, lady folks. All of you godly women, you are literally God's great expression of morality and righteousness in our world. And nothing in the past made America greater than the godly women who dress like ladies, who lived like ladies. They didn't need to be painted up like a clown. They didn't want to change all of God's beauty. You know, a lady, a real beautiful lady, is one of the most beautiful things in the world. I go on my Facebook once in a while, and this little Jezebel puts herself up, and she's half nude, and I just erase them just real quickly. I mean, I get them gone because I don't like that stuff. I believe in righteousness. Get that 1 foot out of the world, or both feet, whatever you got, and get in the middle of God's kingdom. It's a wonderful thing to live for Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it on the face of this earth. Now, the lines are open, and I've got 10 minutes, and I want to answer your question, and I want to tell you to get your life so committed to Christ. I know it's one of those days before Mother's Day that people are so busy. They are so busy, it's unreal, and I don't mind that. I really don't, because I can bring you this truth, and I can preach this hour and tell you what this wonderful book says and tell you all about its truths. I don't have any trouble talking the whole hour if I need to. Let me read you what I'm going to preach about in the morning. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all the saints that have died, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I like that. And consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If ever you have clung to God with all of your heart, if ever you've been surrendered to Christ with all that's in you, if ever you've lived a clean, separated life, if ever you've said to the world, goodbye. You remember the prodigal son? Have you ever heard of the prodigal son and the permanent wave? Did you know the prodigal son did a permanent wave when he was leaving that pig pen? I'm telling you right now, he left it for good. He said, I'm going home to my father. In my father's house of food enough and to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. Why don't every sinner out there say with me right now, I'm out here in this wilderness. I'm living in a world that is so unclean and so filthy. I am tired of all of this godless living. I'm leaving it, and I'm going from this pig pen, goodbye, pig pen, goodbye. I'm going to the house of God, and I'm going to go hear the gospel, and I'm going to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to become a believer, and I'm going to walk with Christ and serve him and live for him. Are you ready? You can do it right now. Why don't I ask every one of you that's unsaved to right now bow your head? Right now, bow your head. Every unsaved person listening to me, bow your head and let's give your life to Christ. Let me help you. Let me help you. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I turn from my sins. I'm looking behind me with a wave and saying, goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm turning to Christ. I'm turning to the kingdom. I'm turning to live a godly life, a holy life, to take up my cross and follow Christ. To live a separated life unto the righteousness of God. And I'm going to live for you, Jesus. And right now, I'm believing you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me of my sins. Wash me of my sin. I want to tell you something. When he washes you of your sins, he doesn't just forgive you. He cleans up your inside. He takes all that burden out of your mind that you've been carrying. All of that terrible feelings of fear and apprehension. That terrible feeling of guilt and sorrow. That terrible feeling that you're living so hopeless and so helpless and so wicked. All of that he'll take out. And he'll clean you up from the inside out, from the outside in, well, inside out. And he'll change you. And you'll never be the same. He'll make a new... Are you ready? Father, right now, I'm coming. I'm surrendering. I give my life to you, Jesus. I want to be yours forever. I want to live for you, Christ. I want to be yours. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Right now, I pray that you are. Oh, this is a day for me to lead somebody to Christ. Maybe several people, maybe a dozen, maybe 100. Who knows how many? All over the world, you're hearing, you're listening. Turn your life to Christ right now. You don't have much time. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. I don't know what's going to happen with Yellowstone. I don't know what's going to happen with all the tornadoes going on, with all the great earth upheavals. I don't know what's all going to happen. I don't know how fast it's going to come. They tell me, and the preachers 20, 30, 40 years ago used to preach, when the end comes, it will come so fast. When the end comes, remember that it will come so fast. Are you aware the end is coming fast? Can you look around you and see how fast it's coming? I mean, like a storm. It just seems to be falling on us. I mean, you're talking about some of the most horrible things all over the world. You're talking about how many people are being slain for Christ in many Muslim countries and heathen countries. You're talking about thousands that are dying at the hand of these vicious people. Folks, we are at the coming of the Lord. We are right on the door of that blessed day. Are you hearing me? And I'm telling you, get right with God. Oh, I feel His Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of God convicting people. I really do. I feel the Spirit of God convicting people and stirring them and awakening them. I don't know how many are waking up. I don't know how many are getting stirred, but I'm praying that many are getting stirred and waking up. And these ladies want to send you this. The lines are open. You call as long as you'll call and they'll answer. Hey, and I need you to be a partner with me. I really do. I'm under a burden here. Really are. Summertime coming. Sometimes the gifts will go down from radio and my big friendship audience out there. Let's raise a banner of surrender to the Lord and to the things of God. I want to hear from you. I do need you, but I'm just more concerned about your spiritual life, that you're walking with God. I do need your help, but I'm concerned about your spiritual life, that you're walking with God, that you're obedient to God, that you're doing the will of God. And if I can help you, I'll do my best. I answer phone calls from anywhere in the world, trying to help people, praying with people, praying for the sick, praying for those suffering with cancer, whatever. And God has given us a lot of miracles through these years, and there'll be more. So wherever you are, I'm reaching out to you and telling you it's near the end, my friend. It's near the end. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Are you listening? 704-391-0588. 0588 and then 1-800-33-TRUTH or 33-87-884. 1-800-338-7884. My email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I've enjoyed bringing this broadcast to you. I hope you like the looks of the sanctuary behind me. I cut the lights on so you would see how beautiful it is. We'd love for you to be in there in the morning and hear this this sermon, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Are you looking unto Him? Have you got your eyes on Him, mothers? If you're going to be a great mother, you need to look unto Jesus. I cannot imagine anything more important than the mothers to keep their eyes on the Lord, looking unto Christ and giving themselves to serve Him and live for Him. My friend, it's really later than you think. It really is. We are so near the end. Now, I've enjoyed it. Call me 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. The ladies are waiting on you. They'll send you this free booklet. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. I love you. I care about you. I'm caring about being a blessing to you. I want you to understand, friend, I don't want to be anything but a blessing unto you. Not a thing, but a blessing unto you. Praise the Lord, and God bless you. Praise the Lord, and God bless you. You are important. You are important. Do you hear that? You are important, my dear friend. Money may never be
a marquee. The world may not applaud when I sing. I can be a light to a friend in the night. Then that's all that I desire to be.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never rise.
just a child. I knew all the while you wanted me to preach, Lord, just for you. Well, I can't count the miles. Sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me.